Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, we read, was in a desolate place with his disciples. He was looking to provide some reprieve for his disciples who had just returned from their first missionary journey among the Jews in Mark's gospel. A little distance from the work was what they were hoping for, a little separation from the pressing crowds of people whose needs of body and soul were always present. So Jesus and his disciples got into the boat, shoved off from shore, and sailed to a remote place where they could take a moment and just catch their breath. Only when they arrived at their destination, they were greeted with a huge crowd of people who had run ahead to meet them, men, women, children, young and old alike. Getting out of the boat from the Sea of Galilee, only to be swimming in a sea of people who were before them. For the introverts among us, this warm welcome by the crowd is exhausting even to think about. But not so for Jesus. He went ashore, he saw the great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. After teaching them all day, his disciples grew concerned about the general lack of food in this desolate place, not only for themselves, but for the flock of people before them. And they went and spoke to Jesus about it. But Jesus' answer shocked the disciples. He told them that they were to feed all the people before them, the men, the women, the children, the young, and the old alike. Now, they had just come back from this missionary trip among the Jews after being authorized by Jesus to preach, to teach, to call people to repent of their sin, to drive out demons, which they did. But this? Feed all of these people? It's impossible. Well, impossible for them alone, yes, but not for Jesus. The good shepherd directs the flock to be seated on the green grass in groups. He blesses and he breaks the bread and the fish, and lo and behold, everyone eats and is satisfied. There's even leftovers. Jesus feeds the people. He does it through his disciples. The flock is fed, their bodies nourished from the loaves and fish, and their spirits are fed by his teaching. The good shepherd, moved by godly compassion, cares for his sheep, both body and soul. That's what we hear in the sixth chapter of Mark's gospel. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when we take what we hear in the sixth chapter of Mark's gospel and we read it with the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah's prophecy, we see this wonderful thing happen, a wonderful fulfillment of God's promises to his people in the past. In Jesus, we see and we find the fulfillment of God's promise to gather the remnant of his flock out of all the countries where he has driven them, and he will bring them back into his fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. He shall set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing. See, in Jesus, we find the antithesis to the unrighteous shepherds who destroyed and who scatter the sheep of God's pasture. Where these shepherds are selfish and greedy, seeking only their good and gain, Jesus, on the other hand, is generous and gracious, seeking only the good of the sheep. We find in Jesus that he is the good and he is the righteous shepherd of God's flock. It's helpful, however, for us to know that when the Lord is speaking about the shepherd and the flock, especially throughout the Old Testament, he is referring to the king and his people. And God's people throughout the Old Testament are the descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the sons of Israel or the Israelites. When God chooses to use the term shepherd, it's more of an adjective in the way describing in the way in which the king is to carry out his rule and his reign, caring for the people. King David being the prime example. David, of course, being a literal shepherd of Jesse's flock of literal sheep prior to being anointed by Samuel to serve as the king of Israel. David cared for his father's sheep. He defended them from predators. He led them to green pastures and to still waters. David looked after his father's sheep with courage, with care, with compassion, the same characteristics that he would eventually use in shepherding God's people. David was the king who had a heart for the Lord, which is in contrast to Saul, the first king of Israel. Contrast to the kings in Jeremiah's day. In contrast to Herod, who is the king in Jesus' day. Those men sought after their own benefit above the need of others. They were self-seeking in their rule and reign. They were unrighteous in the way they shepherded the flock. So we hear from Jeremiah 23:6 again, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will rise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." Behold, in Jesus, this promise has been fulfilled. For Jesus is the shepherd king who deals with his flock with compassion, but who also executes justice and righteousness in the land, meaning he is no pushover. He is righteous, and he demands righteousness. He is just, and he will not let the transgressions of the people go unpunished. He does not turn a blind eye to the wrongs of the world, nor to the evils committed among men. And yet, here is the beautiful thing about Jesus. It's that he lays down his life for his sheep, meaning that he would rather suffer for the unrighteousness of the people, take upon himself the punishment due for the transgressions and the evils committed among men. He would rather die in place of his sheep so that they would live rather than have them die so that he wouldn't have to suffer. That's compassion. That's what led him to the cross of Calvary, to shed his blood. Because there his compassion and his justice and his righteousness would all be on display for the world to see. That's where he laid down his life for his sheep. And I would add, that's where he laid down his life for you as well. But first, back to Mark's gospel. When Jesus sent out the 12, he authorized them to call people to repent from their sin. The 12 apostles or disciples were his under-shepherds, meaning that they were those who were vested with the authority to speak and to act by his command and in his stead. They were ambassadors sent to his people to call them to live faithfully under his gracious rule and reign. To believe that the good shepherd promised in Jeremiah 23 had finally come and been revealed for God's flock. But we hear this in Matthew 10. Jesus sent out the 12, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." See, Jesus is the king. He is the shepherd king. He is the righteous king. First of the Jews, but then for the Gentiles. In John 10, Jesus said, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." Hear now, brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is talking about us. He is talking about those who are not by natural descent Israelites. He is talking about us Gentiles, or former Gentiles, I suppose, as it were, for he makes us to be one people. When we read the words of St. Paul in Ephesians 2, we should understand and believe that these words apply to you and to me as well. They are wonderful words that speak of the compassion of the Good Shepherd to bring us into his flock. They speak of the work of Christ, the Good Shepherd who rules with justice and righteousness, who rather than see his flock scattered or destroyed, would lay down his life in place of the sheep. For the Good Shepherd does indeed lay down his life for his sheep, and he takes it up again so that he might unite all, call all to repent and to find faith in him and salvation in him, so that there may be one flock under the one shepherd. That's why St. Paul writes these words. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, the Jews, which is made in the flesh of the hands, remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God and to one and in both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. See, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in compassion for all people, Jesus is moved to suffer and to die in your place. His righteous and innocent life, his precious blood, is shed for your sins and for mine. He deals justly, and he lets none of your evil go unpunished, yet he is compassionate and stands in your place to receive your punishment. He is righteous before God and demands righteousness, but is compassionate. And he knows that in your sin you are unrighteous before him. And so he graciously gives to you his own righteousness. He sees you and me on the shore, a ragtag group of wild and woolly sheep, and he has compassion on us. And he comes to us to feed us, not with fish and bread, but with his very body and blood. He sees that we are not by nature part of his flock, his kingdom, and yet he has compassion on us, and he brings us into his fold by faith in Christ to live under him in his kingdom. He takes us from being separated in our sin, alienated by our ancestry, and in wonderful compassion, he joins us to himself and his people. This he's been doing ever since the beginning of time, through the patriarchs, the prophets, the apostles, now through the pastors who in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ proclaim the kingdom of God, calling all to repent of their sins and to be reconciled to God through the cross of Christ Jesus, feeding the Lord's sheep with word and sacraments that he himself authored and instituted, urging unity and peace that is found only in the body of Christ. And you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, also in your homes, in your places of work, at school, you also have a divine calling from the Lord to live as his own and to point to Christ the King in all things. And together, we have work to do as we live as his people. In this world that is so filled with anger and fear, hostility, unrighteousness, injustice, Christ has called us to live and to speak as his people, being a light in the midst of darkness and salt in an unsavory world. He has called us to show compassion on one another and on the people in our households, in the way that we interact. Now is the time for us to put aside anger and bitterness and hostility and instead remember our baptism and be clothed again in Christ. Now is the time to live boldly as God's people and say, look, I am a sheep of the Good Shepherd. He has laid down his life for me, and look, he has laid down his life for you as well. He has done this all so that there may be one flock living under one shepherd, the Good Shepherd, even Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Shepherd King. Amen.